Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Today, our passage, our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 27. And then if you could also put your finger on the book of Acts, chapter 17, and I'll read from both. Verse 22 to 24. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 19, verse 16 to verse 27. And then the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 24. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way, as not without aim, I box in such a way, as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And then just three verses in Acts chapter 17, 22. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." And I'll read 25 as well. "Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things." Okay, amen. So the topic I want to kind of touch on this morning briefly is, being relevant Christians. It's one thing to say, I want to become all things to all men so as to win them over. But, are we, Christians that are inviting in the sense that other people's in our workplace or other people in our lives actually look at us and, think, wow, what is that or what is it about that person? Are we living life in such a way? Yeah, it's one thing to be like living holy and living righteous and living, the laws of Christ, but in a way that's attractive, right? And so, a couple examples that I thought of. Recently, I had this really, really, for like 2 or 3 days, I had this bitter, bitter taste in my mouth. And so I'm about to share with you an encounter, an experience. And as I'm sharing, some of you are going to say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I kind of relate with that. I know what you're talking about." Some of you are going to be like, disconnect. Like, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. And so I had this bitter taste in my mouth. I've never had this in my life, unless I ate something bitter. But for like 3, 4 days, I had this metallic, bitter aftertaste. Anytime I would eat anything, a piece of candy, a cereal, it got to a point where I didn't want to eat anything. And so I started, asking her, like, what's going on? And my wife said, "Did you know, Sam, that pregnant women," right? "I'm not a woman, I'm not pregnant," right? "That pregnant women, in about their first trimester, you know, as their body is adjusting and adapting and you know, feeding nutrients to the embryo or to the baby, there's a lack of iron, an iron deficiency. And so that would cause a metallic kind of aftertaste in your mouth. It's a quite common occurrence. Okay, well, like I said, I'm not a woman and I'm not pregnant. So, you know, I thought, okay, iron deficiency. Okay, I must have iron deficiency. So, like, the next day I ate tons of beef. And I just hoarded and still, no avail, no effect. And so after about the third day, right, kind of clicked, okay, why don't I do some research? And I got online and I clicked in, metallic bitter aftertaste, you know, 3-4 days, I'm a man, right? And what came up, like the first 3 or 4 headings, something, pine nuts, and I was like, wow, what is this pine nut stuff? And I kept scrolling down and looking, and I kept doing research, and it kept saying something, Chinese pine nuts, and then it dawned on me. About 4 or 5 days prior, my mother-in-law came from Shenzhen, and she brought these Chinese pine nuts. And as I continued to read, because I was just going to write it off, but the word caught my attention, and I realized, oh my gosh, I just ate that. And so she brought these Chinese pine nuts, and I ate them, and I read, and I continued to read, and it says, it started giving these accounts of people who had eaten these Chinese pine nuts, and for days they thought they had some health condition because of this metallic. And so I figured out that it was an aftertaste effect that would actually go a few days. And so, long illustration, but some of us, like, yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. You know, I've done that before. I've tasted these Chinese pine nuts. Some of us, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so when we're trying to present the gospel, right, how relevant are we is the question. And some of the things that I kind of thought of, you know, if I'm sharing this experience, okay, some people know what it is to have tasted these pine nuts, some people haven't. But what's the common ground? The common ground is that, hey, we all eat. Hey, we've all tasted something bitter, and so I can appeal to that part or that part of the experience for you to relate with me. Well, in the same way, when we're in the workplace or when we're, you know, in relationship and we're trying to share about, you know, our Lord and Savior that we come to worship on Sundays, what are these connecting points, right? Where are these common grounds? You know, are we making the efforts to relate? And so I would say, you know, watch movies, right? I would say pay attention to what's going on in the news. You know, this is just kind of an example that I wrote. You know, in your workplace, obviously there are some people that you don't connect with, right? Like some people, like, yeah, I'd like to, but we're just not there. And so then, how do I become all things to all men? You know, how do I put myself in a position where what I believe in the Christ that is in my life becomes relevant in their lives? Now, obviously, there are the big situations and circumstances, the bombs in life, and if the circumstances allow, you're in a position to share. But you can actually create opportunities and positions, place yourself in positions. So, for example, you know, if you're in the workplace, you know, there's simple things like, oh yeah, you know, I ate at this amazing restaurant last night. You know, it's just like small talk. So what we're trying to do is start small talk that would foster a relationship that at some point would then put you in this position. So it can be anything, you know, think of any person in your workplace right now that you have, you know, trouble connecting with. Someone like, you just, we're not on the same page, or we don't like the same things. And you could talk about food. You could talk about sports. Last night's Lakers game, maybe not in Hong Kong, but last night's Man U life or cricket or you know, whatever. You could talk about a favorite show of yours, something that happened in the news. Like, hey, did you know, hear about the news? I mean, we naturally talk about things like this anyways. You know, a particular movie or whatnot. And then as you're talking about that, you can kind of just insert this. This is my own line. You could say, ha, 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 that kind of reminds me about blah, blah, blah. And then you can insert some Bible study or something that you learned, right? So in essence, what I'm saying is you're actually making an effort and bringing things that people care about, right? And then connecting it with what you care about in your life. So looking for that insert or that opportunity. And you know, a second sort of example what I think is key is, you know, you don't always have to fake it. Pretend like you're interested or pretend like you care. You know, talk about something you're passionate about, right? Like if I was working at a, you know,
a law firm or a bank or you're teaching, like every other night, I'd probably come in, you know, to the office and, man, I had this awesome steak last night. You know, I cooked it up, you know, all these awesome grill marks to perfect temperature. It was delicious, you know. And, you know, hey, why don't you come over to my house one day and I'll cook you a steak. So, I mean, if it's a guy-girl thing, you got to be, you know, be a little more tactful. But, you know, looking for opportunities for ways to invite yourself into a person's life and becoming relevant. And then you're in that position, right? And then who knows? You know, if you're talking about death or something in the news, who knows that God might not have been positioning that person in a place where, you know, maybe off the wall to you, but that morning or that afternoon or that, you know, coffee break, he starts opening up or she starts opening up about, yeah, my mom, you know, in California or friend or whatnot. And right there, you've just put yourself in a position to be relevant. You've just placed yourself in a place where to say, well, you know, I believe in life after death. You know, oh, really? And whatnot and whatnot. And so it's not always going to be hit, and sometimes it's going to be a miss. But putting ourselves in and making an effort, conversationally, relationally, making the gospel of Christ that is real in our lives relevant, or at least positioning ourselves to be able to bring that relevant message, okay? And the third point, you know, roughly, you know, the idea is relationship, right? We're not going for a one-shot deal. It's not to say that God can't bring it in a one-shot deal. It's not to say that you can't get up on a table and start preaching to your whole office, you know, Jesus is coming, repent now, and maybe one other crazy person in that office will come to Christ. But we're looking for relationship, right? Over a period of time, you know, people who can actually evidently see Christ's life in you. Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. And a couple questions I want us to meditate this morning. You know, are you sharing Jesus in your workplace? And along with that, you know, what measures, if any, are we taking so that we can be relevant, so that our faith can be relevant? You know, it's you know, I'm sorry, but it's not enough that they know that you're a believer, right? I mean, honestly, it's not enough that they, yeah, oh yeah, that person's a really good believer, does his or her work on time and, you know, never gets angry and, you know, always goes to EMP. That's not enough. Right? Because this same person or whatnot could be in hell 50 years later. Oh yeah, that person was a Christian. Oh, wasn't that nice? Right? Are we making some efforts to position ourselves? Because everyone thinks about death. Everyone in this world, somebody gets sick. Everyone has times where they're hungry or you know, are depressed. Right? It's not a matter of, is this person human? You know, are they like me? They are. The question is, am I in a place to speak into their lives? Do I care to be in a place to speak in their lives? And so my charge to you, you know, as we go to work, it's not make friends with friends you don't want to make friends with. That's not my charge. It's be a light of Christ to the very people that need it most, to the very people probably you want to be on the opposite sides of the room with. So let's meditate on that this morning, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
In me. will be strict always by the power of your love. Close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Face the knowledge of your love as you live in me. And Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, living every day by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround. Like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me power of your love.
For our first prayer point this morning, let's just pray for our workplace. You know, you may or may not perceive your reputation now. You know, maybe you already have a reputation in your workplace. Maybe people know you in a certain light. And I just want to charge you, our first prayer point, that they would see you in another light, in Christ's light. Whether that's a little more open or a little more bubbly or a little more willing. And that an opportunity would be made today, this week, you know, through someone in your workplace. You know, that they might ask you a question and that you would be able to give them an answer. So let's just pray, whatever our current reputation may be at work or in whatever light people see us, that this week, that they might actually be able to say, wow, something's different. Wow, she or he is you know, alive, is, you know, full of life. And that they would be drawn, that they would have a desire to know where this is coming from. So let's just pray for our workplace and our identity and the way that we're perceived, that we would become all things so that Christ can be made known. Let's pray. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for Jane Chong, who is actually here now in Hong Kong. If you get a chance, you should connect with her. Pray for her. Ask her, how things are going. Pray for Dalian, for their school, for the orphans, for their leadership training. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents in Qingdao. Let's pray for the orphans in Chichihar. Let's pray also for Bhutan. We recently got an email about a week ago. One of the pastors that have been involved there, shooting us an email saying, Christianity has been legalized there. And then I followed up with an email with a pastor in Bhutan, and he didn't know anything about it. and so we're trying to figure out what the deal is there. Let's pray that in Burma that, legislation or whatnot from the top would become a reality to the lives of those, living day in, day out, that Christianity, that Christ would be free to reign and be preached in the cities, in the capital. So let's just pray covering for our missions today. Lastly, let's pray for our SP auction this Sunday, and a lot of logistics, and it's pretty obvious the event is to raise funds, but let's make our prayer point this morning for that specifically, that it would just be an awesome time of fellowship. I think there's going to be a lot of laughter and fun, and as people are bidding and getting outfit, and it's I shared this in our staff meeting, even if I didn't have money, I would come because it's going to be quite a bit of drama. and so just pray that, because it is more than just the money, right? We're trying to do something here as a church, sharing a vision, and we're not moving just into a building. We're expanding our community so that we can impact and influence Hong Kong in a greater capacity. So let's just pray that, for this auction in particular, that it would just be an awesome time of fellowship. People who, have been coming to SP who are new and whatnot, they will still come and just be able to have a good time. And let's pray for Tracy and Paul Marriott as they're going to be kind of emceeing the night. So let's just pray blessing and covering over the event. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. And Father, we thank you, God, for your love. And Father, we thank you for the reminder in your word. God, just to do our part, Lord God, not just live a life so that people can see but live a life so that people can hear. And God, I pray that, you know, each of us, Lord, would just believe, God, that with our small offerings, our small efforts, God, that you can produce something huge. God, that somebody could come today and say, I need Jesus. You know, I've been out, you know, 2 a.m. every night the last week. You know, my life is in shambles, my relationships. And to that point, God, where we took our step of faith and did our part and positioned ourselves, and then, God, you do the rest to bring a soul back into your kingdom, for someone to say, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been waiting to hear. My Savior, my Lord, my Jesus. So, Lord, I pray this blessing and anointing over each one of us today as we walk out of this place. God, that your message would just resound and roar through our lives. And God, that your light would shine bright within us. And God, who do we fear? God, we fear nobody. God, who can be against us if you are for us? And indeed, you are for us today. Your blessed children, your saints. God, we thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you, Jesus, that you walk before us. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us words and thoughts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have a wonderful morning. We continue to pray.